Good, good, good evening. Thank you for being on time. Children, good to see you. Every once a month, we sort of get the children to join us. And today we are privileged because we are going to do a baptism for my friend Michelle. Michelle's family and friends are here. So I want us to just welcome Michelle's family. Can we ask you to just stand for a while? Thank you so much. Right, right. This is Michelle's parent. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We welcome you. Thank you. Come have a seat. I want to tell a story, and it's such a blessing. 对不起, 我今天没有机会讲华文, 等一下你叫他们翻译, I'll be totally honest. I know Michelle from this accident that was about 2 years ago. Everybody knows about this BMW that hit a Tanjong Pagar, a shophouse, and a few boys were inside there, and all of them passed on. One of them is actually Michelle's brother, and that is, therefore, the mother is here as well. And this matter came to me. It's almost like Michelle's family was destined to meet me, because the lady in the middle, her name is Jillian. I now realize that we were all, sorry, by saying this, they know your age. We were all in the university together. And then Michelle was supposed to come to me. But even if Michelle didn't come to me through Jillian, there was going to be another contact, because the other family sort of will tell Michelle about it. So it's almost like all the stars aligned, they would be coming to me anyway. But to cut a long story short, and after that, I think Michelle came, and people like Jasmine have been spending so much time with her. We invited her to just come to church, and as we walked through, today we're so privileged to baptize someone. To baptize someone is a beautiful thing. It's just something that better than win a 3-day, 4-day trial in court. To see someone give their life to Jesus, and people like Jasmine and Angela just blessing them and just water sprinkling, I tell you, it's an absolute joy. And then the mother is such a dear. I'll be totally, the mother is so magnanimous. 我说你很大方, it's the truth. She's so magnanimous that she's able to go and have a meal. Listen to this. Have a meal with the family of the driver. And her son was the passenger. I mean, if you want to think about it, you could say, no, I don't want to meet, because it's your son, the driver, that whatever. She just, after the matter was settled, just meet with the family and still keep in touch and have a meal. I say we have to learn from people like her. And she said something like this, and I thought it's very poignant. She said, by doing this, actually, I'm also learning to how to forgive myself, because she feels that maybe there's certain things she could have done better. But nonetheless, I tell you, only God can engineer this kind of thing. For people to come and all these things. I mean, how do I even engineer wanting to get a case? And then as I speak, another person just texts me and say that, please help. I gave your contact. A pillion just died in a hit and run, is it PIE yesterday, and the people want to see me. I don't pray for accidents, by the way. I only pray that I do God's work. But even if I don't pray for accidents, accidents can happen, right? And will continue to happen. So why don't we just really thank God for all the things? God orchestrates our lives. Our job is to just be available. When He tells you to do something, just do it. So later, for privileged people like Angela and Jasmine, we want us to pray, especially for Michelle, Michelle. But once we start and we lead worship with the children, we will just get it going. And then Michelle will slowly just come up. And then those who want to take pictures, you can. But it will be part of the whole worship experience. Okay? Is that okay? Yeah. Without further ado, I tell the children, put your bags down. I want you to just all worship God together. All right? Come, let's all stand and let's worship the Lord. Song, open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Say, I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Can we lift our hands to the Lord to see you high and lifted up?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power. sing holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open,
open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to
see you high and lifted up.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy. Time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart.
Come,
come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God.
Church declares
one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. But still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those gladly choose you now.
Say come, now's the time to worship.
Come, now is the time to worship.
Say come.
Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Say come, just as you are before your God. Come,
declare one day.
One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. You are God. One day every knee will bow. But still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. We see you high and lifted up,
shining.
We shine in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Say come, now is the time to worship. Say come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Say come, just as you are before your God. Come, come, come.
Can you invite Michelle to just come forward, Angela and Jasmine? The rest of us have just continued to focus on the Lord. I want you to lift your hands wherever you are. You know, today Elder Silas is going to talk about the Lamb of God. As we come before the Lord, the God Himself that we know is both a lamb and a lion. But as we come, as we talk about the Lamb of God, He's an atoning sacrifice. And today, as we have a privilege of just blessing and baptizing someone, I want us to, all the rest of us, those who are taking pictures, please carry on. But the rest of us, just focus on the Lord. And remember, He's all in all. You're my strength.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my dawn and dawn. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Not like a cup to be a fool. You are my dawn and
dawn. All together, raise your hands, sing to the Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, sing Jesus.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Say, Jesus, you're the Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Sing, Jesus, Lamb of God. Tell the Lord Jesus, Jesus, you are Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Say, Jesus,
you're the
Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Taking my sins.
Taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
All the church, would you just lift your hands, sing to the Lord. Children, say Jesus.
Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Sing Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I
Jesus, as we come before the Lord, I want to just ask us, every time we have the children coming, I want us to pray for the children before we release them. So I want all the kids to come forward. Will the children just come forward? Leave your bags with the food, come forward. I want to invite all the adults, which means all of the rest of us, even for some of my friends, including myself, I want you to come and bless the children. Don't bless your own children. Not that you shouldn't bless your children, but you bless them every other day, right? So can you come and pray for some of the kids? Kids, can you just stand before us? And all the, come, Wai Kyong, Dawn, come, let's pray for the children. Huh? Okay. Exam finished already? Then pray for good results, huh? Okay, come. Can all the parents come? Come quickly, pray for them. Pick a child, please. Don't, you're identified, not your child, then pray, okay? Come, let's pray. Come, Gan, Wai Kyong. Pick a child and pray for them. Every single child, come. Quite like. John, Cindy, come, please. Come. A lot of kids here. Sabrina, come. Pray for the kids. Gun, some more here. Anyone else? No? Seconds and then we'll close this segment and then we'll get the children to leave and go for the service. 5 more seconds, we're ready. Thank you. Okay, Father, we thank you for the children, Lord, the next generation, every single one of them, mark them out for success, cause them to do well spiritually, financially, emotionally. Lord, may they look towards you, the Alpha and the Omega, deep within the Spirit. May they receive your amazing love, and because you have love for them, may they serve you until kingdom come. So, Father, we thank you, we bless you, every single one of them, mark them out for success. We thank you, we bless you, we praise all this. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless all the children. We see you next time. Thank you. God bless you. See you. 再见. See you again. Thank you. See you. Bye. And can we thank the musicians for playing? What a wonderful... I didn't know they can play so well. What a wonderful... Praise God. It's so much better than the rehearsal. Praise God. Come, welcome. Have a seat. Children, we see you next time, okay? After when you turn 12, you have no choice but to come here anyway. Come. Come, can we please settle down? Thank you so much. The rest of the adults, can you all just push forward? Winnie, Don, and the rest, Joey and husband, come forward. Come, thank you. Okay. What? Still talking? Okay. Never mind, let's start down. Come, thank you. Come, Sabrina, what's that? Oh, we need to just give the baptism cert, right? Oh, come. Oh. Mia, okay, come. Silas, give come. The two of us. Michelle, come. Yeah, come. Lai. Yeah. Michelle, this is the two of us. Together. Take a photo. Come, Silas, come. Yeah. Thank you so much. You want to say something?
I wanted to say thank you for something. I want to tell you something.
Oh, they were so nice. No, just now, they also, I told you, right? Oh, I didn't tell you. They gave me a pen, and this pen is called, it's the pen, I tell you, it's like a heirloom kind of thing. The mother came to me, and they gave me the pen of the, belonging to the brother. How can I mean, so touched, right? Even Jillian don't want to cry, so cannot, right? But it was so touched. So the pen is, I will use it. Every time I sign any $2 million check, which I sign only once in 25 years, I will use that pen. You want to say something, yeah?
Okay. Something very important.
Important, huh? Okay.
Yeah. I've always wondered where my brother is on the day he left. And God did show me a sign that he is with God. But I'm not very certain because my brother left the church for more than 15 years. And he became like a freethinker. He went back to a temple. But then just now I cannot hold back my tears during the worship because I have a very strong presence that God is reassuring me. It was so overpowering that my Holy Spirit is telling me that Carla and Jillian... and Daniel, with all this, is a very clear sign because Carla and Jillian met on the court hearing day. And that is also the first time Carla met Daniel. It's a very strong sign that my brother is with Jesus Christ because he has received Christ for sure. Although he left a long time, God will never forsake him.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Sorry? Okay, quick one. Come. Gaya, come. Quick one. Yeah. Yep.
Sorry for the interruption. Actually, I do not know Michelle. I know her brother. Her brother is actually my insurance agent. So he was handling all my insurance policies very well. He was really taking good care of my family and everybody. Then... I think it was during Chinese New Year, eve of the Chinese New Year, when my daughter tell me, Mommy, you know, she break down the news to me. I said, cannot be, because just 2 days ago, he spoke to me, and he says he's coming over to my place. So I say, okay, then that's how I came to know Michelle. So during the week, that's where I started going to the house. I keep in touch with the sister, the mother, and the father. Until today, though Gary is not there, I'm keeping in touch, close touch with Michelle and the mother, always sending them messages and checking of them, how are they? And I'm always like, they treat me like one of the family. I'm so happy to be their friend.
Thank you so much. Wow. Well, I always tell people, we're welcome to visit us again, like Michelle's mother. 你不会听英文啊? The Hokkien called 习惯就好, you keep listening after a while, you can catch one. Like Malcolm's mother. Malcolm's mother also not English, right? Just come. Later, please hook up her. Yeah, the Michelle's mother. Yeah. Okay, without further ado, thank you so much. We're so grateful. And God has a sense of humor. We're already running out of time, and then today the person who speaks is Silas. I mean, it's not me. I'm very fast and Philip. Silas is one. But can we just welcome Silas? Come. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. God is good. This is clearly what God's family is all about. Wonderful testimony. And congrats, Michelle. So great for you and the families to be here. Okay, I'm running out of time. Half an hour. I'll run. Okay. Okay, today I'm tasked to carry on with the books of Daniel. And when Mr. Daniel Goh asked me to speak on Daniel 8, I told him I really agonized over this chapter. It's probably one of the hardest. If you don't believe me, turn with me to Bible, Daniel chapter 8, verse 27. Even the prophet Daniel, he says that. He said, and I, Daniel, after he received the vision, he said, and I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. So when Daniel received the vision from God, he was so sick, he was so depressed. He actually was sick for a few days because he was astonished by the vision and no one understood it. So I tell myself, hey, the great Daniel don't understand, who am I to understand, right? But bear with me, let me try my best to explain to you what happened in chapter 8, right? So Daniel saw a vision on the third year of Belzebub, the king, right? So a vision came to him, and then the first thing that he saw was this ram with two horns. And if you turn to Daniel chapter 8, verse 3, it says here, then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there standing beside the river was a ram which had two horns, and the horns were high. But one was higher than the other, and the higher one came out last. So first vision, he saw a ram with two horns. So he don't understand. Anyway, the vision continued. And then subsequently, angel Gabriel came. And then I explained to him in verse 20. If you turn to verse 20, Gabriel explained to him what this ram with two horns is all about. And he says here, the ram which you saw having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia. So at that time, this kingdom haven't come yet. So God gave Daniel this vision, the ram with two horns. And the angel Gabriel explained to him, these two horns represent two kingdoms. Cool? So far, so good. And that's not the end. And then as the vision continued to unveil, then suddenly, there's another goat that came forth. After the ram with two horns, a goat came forth. And this goat with a big horn. Okay, you go to verse 5. It's here, and I was, as Daniel was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat has a notable horn between his eyes. So Daniel first saw a ram with two horns, then he saw a goat with a big horn. He said, what is that? Of course, Gabriel, angel, subsequently explained to him in verse 21, it talked about the kingdoms of Greeks is going to come. And the big horn, essentially, are Alexander the Great. A lot of us know who he is. Bear in mind, all these things didn't happen during Daniel's time. So God gave a very specific vision. First, there is a ram with two horns, signifying the two kingdoms to come, the Persian Empire, and then the Greek Empire is going to come. That's Alexander the Great, right? And then subsequently, you also go on to verse 8, and this is the part that's getting a little bit more disturbing, right? In verse 8, therefore, the male goat, they grew very great. Okay, this is talking about Alexander the Great. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken. Okay? And in his place, out of it, four small horns that came out towards the four winds of heaven. So, this goat with a big horn was broken. And out of which, four horns came forth. Again, what is that? Gabriel have an explanation of what it's all about in verse 22. He said, as for the broken horn and the four that stood up in his place, four kingdoms shall rise out of the nation, but none with his power. So if you go back to trace back history, some of you who are historian, you know that after Alexander the Great died, he does not have someone who succeed him. So four generals rise up. And these are the four horns that replaced Alexander the Great. So far, so good. Got it? So the ram came forth with two horns. The Persian kingdom came and gone. The Greek kingdom came, Alexander the Great came, and then he died. Apparently died of mosquito bite or something, I can't remember. And out of him, four kingdoms come forth. And that's okay. You tell yourself, not so bad, right? Why to the extent that Daniel actually becomes so depressed? Then the next one is an interesting one. After the four horns appear, suddenly a joker came out. This small little horn, they rose up from one of the four horns. Okay, if you go to read verse 9, bear with me, I think it's a little bit of detail here. Verse 9, that's where the description came out and say, and out of one of the four horns came a little horn which grew exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the glorious land. Glorious land is where Zion, where Israel is going to be. And it grew up to be the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. Verse 11, it says here, this little horn, he even exalted himself as high as the prince of hosts. So i.e. this guy exalted himself almost to God-like status. Okay, small little horn, but very powerful. He said almost God-like status. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away and the praise of his sanctuary was cast down. So this horn is quite devious. It take away whatever sacrifice they offered to the Lord and trampled it down and cast it away. Because of this transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifice because it's getting so powerful. The Lord actually allowed this guy to actually oppress the saints and take away all the daily sacrifice, and he cast truth down to the ground, and he did all this and prosper. So imagine this is someone who came out, who becomes so powerful, remove all the daily sacrifice in the temple, and kind of bring himself almost to the same level as God-like status. And that's how powerful they are. And a lot of people say this is almost like an antichrist, right? And in fact, if you go on to see, it goes on to talk about these transgressions, the abominations of isolation, that the whole place was cast down, it was so isolated. It even become like an abomination to the Lord. Today, we don't have time. I just want to skip through. You go to Daniel 8, Daniel 12, and even in Matthew 24. Even Jesus talked about Matthew 24. He said, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoke of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever he reads, let him understand. I remember when I was young Christian, when I read Matthew chapter 24, I was very confused. Because Jesus said, just when you see something like this happening, when someone rises up, becomes so powerful that can even defile the temple of God and kind of exalt himself almost like God-like status, this is what the Lord said, this is the transgression, this is an abomination. And Jesus warned, he said, when you see something like this happen, let him who understand hear what is happening, right? So this is the vision that, in short, this is the vision that Daniel saw in chapter 8. First a ram with two horns, and then a goat with one big horn. The big horn, Alexander, died. Four little horns came out. Four little kingdoms. Out of the four little kingdoms, one little horn had came out and become so powerful that it actually even defiled the temple of the Lord. And in fact, if you trace back, some of the historians talk about this event or this so-called little horn might have happened already in the past. In fact, they say there was this king called Antiochus Epiphanes IV. I can't pronounce, pardon me if I didn't read it right. This guy ruled Palestine from 1975 to 64 before Christ. And this guy treated Israel with such violence and contempt that Israelites actually rebelled against this guy. Okay, this king oppressed all the Israelites. And when he came to suppress the rebellious Israelite, his forces entered the temple, stopped the regular sacrifices, and set up an altar for Zeus. So it's almost like what described in the little horn, right? This guy was so powerful, he oppressed all the saints and the Jews, and then he tear down all the daily sacrifice. He set up an altar for Zeus, and apparently, you know, this guy was too much. He even offered swine there as a sacrifice. We all know that in the old days, pigs are unclean, right? So it speaks of someone that is really so go against the Lord. He dared to do all this kind of sacrifice in the temple, right? And this is a kind of abomination because it not only go against the Lord, he should bring a swine as an altar to sacrifice to someone else. So someone say that whatever Daniel say in Daniel 8 might have come to pass. I don't know. The honest answer to you is that I don't know. So the other theory is that someone say that Hitler could be the guy. If you look at what Hitler has done during the World War II, right? He go about persecuting all the Jews during the Holocaust, And one thing that Hitler is very well known of is that he actually burned the old Torah, which is the first 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible. And their account to say that he actually tied the Torah on the Jews' head and then pushed them around and persecute them. And then even have the bicycle to ride over them, they burn the Bible. So it's almost like a little horn they will talk about in Daniel chapter 8. But the interesting thing is that in Daniel chapter 8, the Lord's vision to Daniel is very specific. While this little horn is all great and mighty, he's not going to die by human hand. Okay, if anyone remember, Hitler committed suicide. So again, he perhaps might not be the little horn that we talk about here. Okay? So today, I'm not here to go and share about all this history. As I say, even great Daniel has depressed for days and sick for days after he sees all this vision. I'm just a pure mortal. I don't understand that. But the history has shown that some of this event could have happened, or it could be just a foreshadow of something that is more terrible or something that's more glorious is going to come. So this is the full description of Daniel 8. And in order to give you a little bit understanding, you've seen that since the very beginning of the study of book of Daniel, we went through from chapter 1 to chapter 8. There are 3 visions has been given, right? The first vision was given to King Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel interpreted for him. If you look at the statue on your left, it talks about the 4 kingdoms, the Babylonian, the Persian kingdom, the Greek kingdom, and then the Roman Empire. And in that dream interpretation, it's manifested itself as a statue. The very head of gold represents the Babylonian. When it comes to chapter 8, it already comes to fruition. If you remember, King Nebuchadnezzar ruled Babylon with great power, and that is the head of gold, and it came to pass. So whatever Daniel has interpreted at the very beginning of chapter 2 did come to pass. And then you talk about the second power, about the Persian Empire, the breastplate or arms of silver. And then last week, Daniel talked about the bear, the animals, the bear. That is part of what has been described. And then this week, you talk about the ram, right? And then you draw a parallel line, the Greek kingdom, which is basically the belly and thighs of brass in chapter 2. And then in chapter 7, it manifested itself as a form of leopard. And today, we see that being represented by a goat with a big horn. Alexander the Great, after the big horn, the 4 kingdoms came forth. And last but not least, the Roman Empire. And then last week, Daniel talked about the monster, which is what we talk about, the little horn that we came about today. So you look at this whole thing, it's quite interesting. Someone was going to ask, why the Lord chose different kind of dream to interpret? I don't know. He chose different kind of animal to manifest whatever that is going to be seen. But you can see a very clear parallel. Nothing is going to happen by accident. When the Lord revealed the vision, he has a very clear method of delivering the visions to the people. And this is what being represented in the chapter so far. And a little bit of spoiler alert, subsequently you go down to further chapter, this thing is going to expand into even more detail. So for those of us, please come back because we will continue from there. And the things that we want to discuss a little bit is that the horn represents the great evil, the thing is going to come, and we see what the person has done. Defile the Lord, take away all the daily sacrifice and all this. But one thing is interesting that even you use a Hitler example, right? I think Hitler, during his time, he's trying to create a race that's superior than anybody else, right? That's, we all know that. They thought the German race is probably the most superior. And he wanted to persecute all the Jews. From the little that I know of, he was actually born a Catholic. Of all people that he loved in the whole world, his mother was actually a Catholic. But somehow, during his childhood day, Hitler grew up to despise Catholicism. He always felt that religion is for the weak people. He felt that only the weak people who have no mind of his own decided to find a false god. So he go all out to persecute all this. And then perhaps, even you think that if he's the little horn who want to get rid of all the Jews and all this, it's just very specific. A small sample. I mean, yes, the Israelites suffered for years during the Holocaust, but it still do not have an implication for the rest of the world. There's a very specific race in that, right? And when you come to the end of time, there's a lot more explanation. And if you're going to go into detail, it's just so mind-boggling. Again, today, I'm not here to go into some of the detail, but I'm just going to explain to you, according to the word of the Lord, when the end time comes, is going to be much, much worse than what we've seen so far.
even the time of Antichrist, Epiphany, the fourth king, or not even to the extent of Hitler. In fact, you go into Revelation chapter 13 from verse 1 to 8, the description was so vivid, talking about the beast that rise up, talking about the dragon who actually empowered the beast to destroy the people on the earth. And that is what the end times is all about. And if it's something that, if you think that is scary for all of us, I have good news for you today. If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the word of the Lord was very specific, that all these things shall come to pass. By the end of the day, lawlessness shall be destroyed. And the word of the Lord was so specific. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, from verse 7 onward, he said that for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We've seen all the terrible thing that's done, war around us, Russia, Ukraine, whatever that's happening in Middle East now, whatever that happened in the World War II and in the past, lawlessness is already at work. We've seen that. So all kind of stuff that's happening around the world is happening, right? Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. What Thessalonians says now, right? The Lord is the one who's restraining all the impacts of all this lawlessness. There's a lot of things that's happening around the world, but you haven't gone to the full-blown extent of what we're going to witness in the end time because the Lord restrained it. The Lord Jesus Christ restrained all these things. He's not going to go into full-blown, but it says in 2 Thessalonians, he says that he who now restrains will do so, he'll continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. So the day will come when the Lord will say, I will step aside. I will let all this evil come to full fruition then. And then the lawlessness one will be revealed, whom the Lord will then consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So what Thessalonians says here is that one day the Lord is going to step aside and let all these terrible things going to happen. And when that happens, he's going to come forth and destroy the lawlessness that we talk about here. And if there's anything that, if you still think that this is not comforting for all of us, I think we should, right? Because the Lord then will take care of it. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of the Satan with all power, signs, and lyings and wonders, and with all the unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So a lot of people will be destroyed. People will die because of that, because they don't believe in the Lord. And for all this reason, God will send them strong disillusion that they should believe the lie, that they all be condemned and did not believe the truth, but had the pressure in unrighteousness. So the day will come, if you are not careful, if we just decided not to defile ourselves, the Lord say that this is going to happen to you. So for the rest of us, this important lesson for us to know is that the day of lawlessness is going to reveal. But the Lord have good news for you, because according to the book of Joel, chapter 2 from verse 28-31, so when the Lord came, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. My sons and my daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dream. Your young men shall see vision. And also in my men servants and on my maid servant, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I'll show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and the great and the awesome day of the Lord. So the Lord basically says that before his second coming, he's going to pour out the Holy Spirit, that every one of us, as sons or daughters, we will prophesy. We are going to see vision. We're going to see dream. Dream and vision is not only something that's elite only to Daniel or to Joseph. All of us, okay? There's one thing that's interesting, if you check back on the story of Daniel, right? In chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel interpreted the dream for him. And then between that, and when we come to chapter 7 and chapter 8, instead of interpreting somebody else's dream, the Lord actually gave the vision directly to Daniel. So he's no longer just an interpreter of dream. He's a receiver of dream and vision. And this is what we're going to learn in the book of Joel. The day will come, all of us here, we're going to receive vision, we're going to dream. because the Lord is going to pour out His Holy Spirit on all of us here. And then something I want to encourage all of us. Yes, there's lawlessness abound. There will be war and rumors of war. But the day will come that the Lord is going to have such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Or regardless of who you are, as long as you're a believer in Christ, you shall prophesy. In fact, if you go on to Matthew chapter 24, right, and from 29 to 31, I'm not going to go through in detail, it says that after immediately all the tribulations and all these things, the Lord will reveal Himself with a loud shout from the heaven. And this is something that we all look forward to. So take a pause. We know all the vision that is going to come. The only thing unknown is when is this so-called end of time is going to happen. I think I can safely say that we haven't seen that yet. Some say it came like in the Holocaust, and I don't believe so. Because according to the word of the Lord, we're going to see a much bigger scale of destruction. And it's not only confined in a certain geography or certain race. But behold, when that comes, when the lawlessness is fully revealed, that's when the second coming of Christ will come. And all of us shall receive the Holy Spirit, and we shall prophesy. So with that, I'm doing quite good on time, 10 minutes. I'm going to summarize in chapter 8. There are a few things I want to take away that we should take away from here. First thing, when the Lord reveals His vision, it takes time. You know, when Daniel first interpreted the dream in Daniel 2, he was still a young guy. He was serving King Nebuchadnezzar. Time has passed. When it comes to chapter 7, Nebuchadnezzar is gone. Okay? At that time, Daniel is really right old age. He's quite old already. And that was a third. And then after he received the vision, first vision in chapter 7, it took another 3 years before he received the second visions in chapter 8. And then if you later on go to Daniel chapter 11, there's further elaboration of the vision. I think that takes place another 17 years later. So by the time we come to Daniel 12, Daniel has almost come to the end of his life. So we're talking about someone who spent his whole life pursuing God, trying to understand what God's vision is all about. It takes time. So a lot of time, guys, chill and relax, because the Lord is going to reveal whatever He wants to show us according to His timing. So it's not going to happen overnight. Even I spent the last 2-3 weeks trying to understand Daniel 8. All I can say, I know a little snippets of what's happening. But it's worthwhile pursuing God our whole life, because the Lord will continue to reveal to us, bit by bit, piece by piece. And then when they come, everything, when the day we meet the Lord, you have the full answer, right? And the second interesting aspect is that every time the vision was revealed to Daniel, it kept clearer and clearer with a little bit more detail. And in fact, just now I show you from chapter 2, 7, and 8, all the animals, right? If you carry on, you go to chapter 11. You can see how he explored, right? From chapter 7, after the first kingdom of Babylonia was gone and bypassed, come to chapter 8, the vision was very specific on the ram and the goat and the little horn. And when subsequently in chapter 11, spoiler alert, whoever going to speak in 11, the vision is going to explain even more details about this goat with the horn and the little horn and the four horn. In chapter 11, it explains the north and the south kingdom. So it's as if the Lord is trying to roll out a series of events and trying to explain to you bit by bit what is going to come. And then, of course, there's a great conclusion at the end of chapter 12, right? So the Lord essentially is going to reveal bits by bit. And sometimes you're just wondering why He wants to do that. I don't know. But the only thing I can tell you is that the Lord will continue to reveal more and more to us as we continue to stay close to Him, right? So that's an interesting aspect of what you see in Daniel's vision. And the other thing that we learn is that a lot of all this event, I think, is the foreshadow of things to come. You think about it. When Daniel first came into the picture, right, he'd gone through all the suffering and all the tribulation, even the friend going to the lion's den and going to fire, right? So he talked about the tribulation. It's almost like a snapshot of what I've been talking about, all this little horn and all this end of day and all the persecution against the Christian, right? But ultimately, every single time, the Lord delivered. May it from a lion's den, may it from the fiery furnace, the Lord deliver. So if you follow the history of Daniel, as if the Lord is telling us, whatever vision I'm going to show you, it shall come to pass. Not only it will come to pass, don't worry about the trial and tribulation, because ultimately I will deliver. as I have delivered Daniel, as I deliver his friend. So whatever they will receive from all these visions, sometimes Christians get very scared and very worried when we study the end time, we hear about all this persecution. So imagine if the persecution happened today. You're talking about thousands of days and all the saints will be, those who do not have the mark of the beast, you can't trade, you can't survive, you can't go to school, you can't go to the supermarket. Scary, right? But I think that's not all about it. I think the Lord is revealing all these things to us, not to scare us. He's revealing all these things to us and give us assurance. He actually allowed this to happen. It's just what we read in the passage just now. The Lord allowed it to happen. So that he step aside, let the full lawlessness come to manifestation, and then the Lord will come true. It's just like the Lord had come true for Daniel and his friend. So indeed, it's almost like a foreshadows of what this thing is going to come, right? And my final conclusion in all this, I want to talk about God's promise. Recently, all this event that's happening in the Middle East is causing a lot of attention around the world. And I got asked quite a few times by some people, because they know I'm a Christian, right? They always ask me, why is Israel so special? Why must be the Jews be the chosen one? You mean we are not important? You mean the Muslim is not important? You mean Singaporean is not important, right? So why? Does anyone have the answer to that? We all know we read the Bible, right? The Bible says that Israel is my chosen generation. These are the people that I handpicked, and this is my children, right? So how do I explain that? I think the way I want to look at that is that, as in the context of Daniel, that all this vision they're showing to us is pointing us to one, a very significant event that has pivoted the whole history of mankind. And we know what happened. Okay, let's start with the very beginning in the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, this is the Lord speak to Abraham. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, okay? I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. This is the Lord promise to Abraham, get out. I'm going to bring you to this special place. I shall make you great. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. And in you, Abraham, this individual, all the family of the earth shall be blessed. So at the very beginning, God gave a very specific promise and covenant to Abraham, say that, go, you shall be a father of great nation, and through you, the entire earth shall be blessed. Okay? The word of the Lord never says that only the Israelite. He never says that only the descendants of Abraham, but he said the entire earth. Interesting, right? So this is what God promised at the very beginning. And as you continue with the journey of the Old Testament, maybe we get a little bit of understanding why God do that, because God needs to set a group of people as an example of what it means to be a follower of God. And Israel, by some divine appointment, they are the chosen one. God has brought them out of Egypt, God has brought them victory, and despite all the sins or all the past kings and all the problems, the God continued to deliver them again and again and again and again. Until we know that when Jesus Christ came, right? When Christ came, we know that Christ is a descendant of Abraham. The lineage you can trace all the way back. It's come all the way down from Abraham and then come to Jesus Christ. And when Christ came, it was very clear that Jesus Christ is here to save the entire humankind. It's not only the Jews. Whether you are the Jews, whether you are the Gentiles or not, he died for all and every one of all of us. So I hope you're beginning to see a picture. While the Lord blessed Abraham, there's a chosen tribe. Why he chose a chosen tribe? Because he needs to set an example. Before the real example came. In the Old Testament, this tribe was chosen to magnify God's power, his redemptive power, and all the things he has done. But when Christ came, Christ basically took away all this and said that from now on, this is our Savior, this is our Messiah, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. That whoever is not constrained only to the Jews, neither to Singaporean or Malaysian, is that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. And then from then on, it will come to the very end of the book of Revelation. So we come from Genesis, not bad, I do it in 5 minutes. Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9 to 17. I shall read this for you. Book of Revelation. Okay, chapter 7, come right after, some of you are familiar with Revelation when the Lord revealed seal and trumpet. Seal number 1, seal number 2, seal number 3, number 5, number 6. After number 6 was revealed, then you come to chapter 7. If you go to verse 9, okay? Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this thing, I look. John looked up and he said, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number. And the words that follow is, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongue, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So it talks about every single nation, every tribe, every people, every tongue. So regardless of who you are, whether you are Israelite, whether you are Singaporean, Malaysian, Thai, whatever, doesn't matter. Okay, all these will stand before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes, with palm branches in their hand, and crying out loud with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb of God. So if by now you still don't get the picture, something is wrong. It becomes so crystal clear that whatever Lord has put in place right at the very beginning to tell Abraham, through you the nation shall be blessed, and that through you is actually come through Jesus Christ when he came and set everybody else free. And in fact, you come to the book of Revelation and talk about every tribe, every nation, every people, every tongue will stand before the Lord and honor the Lamb of God. We sang the song there. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he's the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords. So I hope with this, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. The Israelites are truly a chosen nation for God. But he has served his purpose. In the day it was set out as an example of what it meant to be a children of God so that it can show forth the redemptive power of God and how God continued to rescue them again and again. But then when Christ came, through Jesus Christ, all of us, is no longer the Jews. Those of us who are sitting in a kampong riding a bicycle today, as long as we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, we shall be saved. And that is the grand picture that I hope you all can understand. As you go through the book of Daniel, as you go into detail after detail, vision after vision, it all points down to the fact that because of Jesus' sacrifice, all of us shall have hope. There is a second coming of the Lord. And when he comes, all these things shall pass. No more tears, no more hurt, no more negative feeling, because the Lord will set it right. So with that, I'm doing perfectly good on time. Daniel Goh, you must be very proud of me. All right, so in short, again, I'm rushing you through. There's a lot of details in Daniel chapter 8. But what I urge you guys to do is that don't worry about the details about all these different kingdoms. Because the reality is that some of them have come to pass. We know that. Like the Babylonians, the Greeks, Alexander the Great, the Persian, and all this. It come to pass. And some of that had yet come to pass. In fact, at the closing chapter, the Lord just tells Daniel, say, I'm going to seal up everything now. Because a lot of things that the Lord is going to share is going to point to a lot of things that's happening in the future that none of us will ever understand. There's a lot of things I talk about, 3.5 years, 1,280 day and nights and all those stuff. Some even say that, even if you look at the Holocaust, it happened in 1941 to 1945. It's almost like a 3.5 year kind of tribulation, right? But I think we are missing the point. Or maybe even Hitler missed the point. He thought that by persecuting Jews, he can defile the law, but he forgot that God has a plan that's much bigger than the Jews. It's not only about the Jews. It's about all of us. It's all about any one of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to confess that he's the Lamb of God. That is what it's all about. And I think our God is much bigger than that. He has a much bigger plan for all of us here. So as you continue this journey in the book of Daniel, you're going to find out more interesting facts and interesting backgrounds on all the vision is going to come. But what I'm going to share with you today is that don't envy Daniel, because the day will come, the Lord says that I'm going to give the vision to you. It's just that Daniel first, he's just an interpreter of the dream for King Nebuchadnezzar. And subsequently, the Lord says that you're ready, I'm going to show you the vision directly. And the day will come, all of us here, we will know how to prophesy, because the Holy Spirit is with us. And because we know that we serve a King and the Lord that has a greater plan from all that we can imagine. Whatever Satan, whatever the so-called the Antichrist want to do, the funny thing is that the Lord already tell you so. It's in there. It's in there. The Lord allowed it. It's not that he's not prepared. He actually allowed it, and he's telling you specifically this is to come. But the Lord's encouragement to all of us is that hold firm. Hold firm. Because ultimately, he has a plan for all of us. So today, let's confess the Lord, even as we sing the song that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is the King of kings, he is the Lord of lords. Thank you.
Check 1, 2. If you have your Bibles, I just want you to go to Daniel chapter 7, will you? Daniel chapter 7, starts at 8. You go to Daniel chapter 7 and we'll take it from there. Daniel chapter 7, will you just go to verse 13? Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. In my vision at night, I saw, and there before me was like a son of man. This is Daniel prophesying, seeing a dream. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was like a son of man coming to the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. The Son of Man was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I'm looking forward to the day. I don't know about you. I won't say I can't wait, but if it happens tomorrow, I think Silas and I are very happy. Wow, no need to worry about COE, everything just go. But know something. This kingdom is a kingdom into the eternity. And the Son of Man here that talks about, the Son of Man here is Jesus. And when we talk about the Ancient of Days, that's God the Father. The Ancient of Days, God the Father, the Son of Man is Jesus himself. And last week, we were just at Alpha talking about the Holy Spirit. I said, let's pray. And then people like Silas was praying for Wai Kyong. And I'm sure Esther and the rest were praying. And I'm so pleased that Michelle just came and just now, she said what she said, right? She just felt like the Holy Spirit was just telling her that the brother is saved and the kind of thing. But isn't that what it's all about? The working and the operation of the Father, the Ancient of Days, and then the Son of Man will come. The Son of Man will come in his presence. He's given authority, glory, and sovereign power. And like what Silas said, right? All nations and peoples of every language, not only the Jews. Every single one, all nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion, it's an everlasting one. It will not pass away. His kingdom will never. You know the word never? Angela, what's never? Never means never. Never. No chance. Will not be destroyed. Winnie going for Taylor Swift? Winnie? Not going. Coldplay? Coldplay. But Coldplay's only a concert. I'm also going. But this concert is the one you want to go for. This one whereby all nations and peoples of every language. And this concert won't end. You'll go on forever and ever. Isn't that what is worth living for, Michelle? Maybe Kaya. I don't know your English, but whoever. Being lawyer is good, but helping people to reach the kingdom even better. Check out the news. I just got the news. I'm so sad. This guy who passed on, apparently some motorcyclist in the Pillion, 39 and 9 year old. I think I know them. It's probably them. I know the father, good man. And the son, I saw the son. Gone. I don't know what to say. So there's an urgency for us to tell people about God, isn't it? Whatever it takes, so that all of us have a chance to meet the Lamb of God, the atoning sacrifice, the one who did it all for us, so that we will meet Him again. I want us to just acknowledge Him, and today we'll end. I'll ask the musicians to come forward as we just come and bring this service to an end. Father, we thank You that, Lord, You are a God that is worth our worship. Father, we thank You that the day will come whereby the Son of Man, Jesus Himself, will be given all authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language will worship Him. Father, we thank You that the dominion of Jesus, His domination, is an everlasting one. It will not pass away. And Father, we want to be part of the kingdom as we come together, as we get baptized, as we get to know You, as we acknowledge You, as the Holy Spirit works in the midst of Your people, that, Lord, we will find Him. Father, thank You. Can you take this time as we're beginning to just want to worship? I want you to get it right before the Lord. Can you acknowledge Him that really He's the not some in all or sometimes, but He is all in all. He's everything. Will you today give your life just to serve Him and recognize that Jesus is the Lamb of God? Can I invite you to stand?
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my Lord and all. Seeking You as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'll be a fool. You are my Lord.
Can we sing to the Lord Jesus? Sing, Jesus, Lamb of God. Raise your hands and worship Him. Say, Jesus.
Jesus, Lamb. My shame, rising again, I bless Your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, You pick me up. When I am dry, You fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Sing, Jesus.
Amazing love, how can it be? my King would die for me. Amazing love, I know is true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Can we just lift our hands before the Lord? You know, it's easy to honor someone if you want to honor that someone. But sometimes a lot of things is very difficult to do. But God says, honor him anyway. I want to pray for you that sometimes when difficult, it is sometimes even difficult to honor our parents, isn't it? Or honor someone that is hard to love. But the Lord tells us to bless our enemies. So I want to pray for you in Jesus' name. Even if it's difficult, will you take this opportunity? Say, Lord, will you soften my heart so that, Lord, I will do the work of this kingdom? I'll be a blessing. Though, Lord, bless you, Father. Begin to mold and really jars of clay. Just really come and soften the heart of my brother and sister, even for myself. So that, Lord, the things that we find hard to do, if you've called us to do it, Lord, we will do it by the name, by the might, by the grace, and by the Holy Spirit. So the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you, the Lord encourage you, the Lord be with you as you soldier on in this life, knowing that in the days to come, you will be with Him, you will be with the Ancient of Days, you will be with the Son of Man, who will come back again to bring us and bring us all back to His eternal kingdom. Father, we thank you, bless you. Until such time, Holy Spirit, we ask that you do a new work in my brother and sister, because until Jesus comes again, the Holy Spirit is with us. Father, we thank you, bless you. We pray all this through the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. We see you next week, not here, at the food distribution. Please see you at Block 61, and then you come back the week after. The Lord bless you. We see you next week. Bye. See you.